Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this evening, at least the sermon that I will be giving, will be taken from Paul's letter to the Romans. And I mentioned the Reformation text, so perhaps you have a pretty good hint. Romans 3 and verse 19 through 28. Again, that's Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 3, and I'll begin reading tonight from verse 19. Romans 3, 19, and I'll read then as follows in the name of our Lord. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace to the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Father, sanctify us in your truth. For your word is everlasting truth. Amen. Perhaps there's no better time to address Reformation than at a convention. Because you see, very often when we talk about these terms or this type of terminology, we're not always really sure of what we're talking about. What does it mean now when we talk about Reformation? I don't really want to get too carried away with that, but just simply from this standpoint, we talk about revival a lot. You know, you hear that kind of thing prayed for. Lord, please bring revival to our land. And then we might make a statement such as this, saying, well, but first let that revival begin with me. But you know, I think sometimes we don't even understand what we're saying. Actually, what we need most of the time as believers, because that's what we are, or most of us I think are that tonight, maybe I shouldn't make that judgment, but anyway, this is what we need. We need reformation. We need to have our own thinking very often reformed. And that takes place simply under the teaching of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God is the theme for this convention. And I thought about preaching from there. But I really wanted to drive this point home tonight with for you, that this is really what we need to, or what I think, and I shouldn't even use that terminology, but this is really what has come to me. Reformation needs to take place for your heart and for mine. Because too often we become so steeped, as it were, in religion or in how we understand theology that we no longer can see past the end of our own nose. And we begin to lose, as it were, compassion for those around us. We begin to not be concerned so much with those around us, but simply with our own selves and perhaps our own understanding. Or we begin to become what we call religious. You see, I remember preaching one time in the seminary services. And I made a statement there one time in one of my sermons there that I hate religion. And someone kind of laughed at that. I thought that was kind of funny that I said I hate religion. But the reason why I made that statement was not so much that about the word itself, religion, but when people who are Christian become religious. Do you follow what I'm saying? When we simply just go down this road where we just want to uphold our particular religion, so to speak, and somehow we lose the Christocentric nature of the church. You see, this is really what Reformation does for us. It brings us back to where we need to be. Christ-centered, as it were, in our teaching and our preaching. And yes, that's law and gospel preaching. That's law and gospel preaching. You see, we don't simply look at these two things as polar opposites, and although they are, but we understand how they now work out themselves within the Christian church, how we now understand these things to be. Our text starts, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, I say this often to our congregation when I stand up here to preach Sunday after Sunday. It's difficult at times to simply take a letter like this and somehow preach a sermon from it, because we're ripping, as it were, it out of context. We're trying to bring forth a message from just a certain length of verses. But Paul is driving this point home, which we need to understand and actually trust in our Christian walk in life. We are now made just by the merits and works of Christ. This is why Paul starts off this letter, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. And you go to Romans 10 and you read there of what Paul writes there. Confession, he talks about. We believe with the heart and confession is made with the mouth. And what are we confessing? We are confessing what Christ has done. By the law is the knowledge of sin. You see, what he disputes in this gospel is this idea that we can somehow justify ourselves, that there's some way that you and I can become justified by our own works. And trust me, that's not just simply following the precepts of the Ten Commandment law. We haul this into our Christianity all the time with the way we think we need to behave, perhaps, with what we're doing. We say all of these things like this, and we completely take away justification by faith and by faith alone. The concluding verse of our text spells it out quite clearly, doesn't it? Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. You see, the law in and of itself simply brings man, and I kind of like the little illustration, and I sometimes give this to confirmation students, the little SOS. Have you ever heard of that? The law shows our sins, the gospel shows our Savior. This is all the law does. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. And we have trouble with that. So many people that we deal with, or even in our own hearts, we have trouble with that. You mean I'm simply just justified by faith? By simply just believing what Paul has written here within this letter, or all of the Gospels have written, that Christ has come and he has died for me who am a sinner. He died for me when I was yet in the depths of sinning. Yeah, that's what he says. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And we take that into a different realm. We take that into, you know, if someone comes up to us in the street and we don't share the gospel with them, then that means we're ashamed. When in reality, what really is taking place for us when we begin to deny our justification by faith and faith alone is we are also being ashamed. So listen to what the scripture says. But now, the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. The righteousness, or the deeds, excuse me, I lost my spot. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, there's nothing more difficult for you and I to understand than justification by faith. We can say it all the time and we teach it, we talk about it all the time, but to actually believe this to be the case. Well, we're justified by faith, but, you know, we have to make sure we're doing this and this and this and this, or avoiding this and this and this. Then we're really, truly justified. But it doesn't say that. The scripture simply tells me that I have been justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. I have been justified by what he has given unto me to believe. What we understand is this is now given unto us as gift. For by grace are you saved through faith. So he says in verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, this is good news. This is the most tremendous news that could ever be spoken to a human audience. And sometimes, I wish people would get just a little emotional about it. You know, you stand up in front of an audience like this and you tell them, you know, you guys are justified by faith in Christ and in Christ alone. And one pastor told me, and you see all the eyelids begin to droop. Because we've heard it so often that we're not even hardly impressed with it anymore. But I pray that as we enter into another convention and as the speakers stand up to preach the word, that we would trust that what the word of God says is true. You are justified by faith and by faith alone. And this now is what you base your Christian walk on. If you want to talk about walk and action and attitudes and all of those things, you first need to know that you are justified by faith. And then from there stems the rest. Why don't we trust that? Why is that so hard for us to trust? Why is it so hard for me? Perhaps you have no trouble out there in the audience. Maybe it's me. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. God has set forth his Son to be the atoning sacrifice, is how other versions of the Bible translate that. Through faith in his blood. In other words, my friends, we understand tonight that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have now been justified. It's not my great ability walking as a believer. It's not any of those things, what I do or do not do. It's simply by the work of Jesus Christ on the center cross of Calvary, shedding his blood to the last drop for my sins, the sacrifice and that God was pleased with. When this savor of this sacrifice entered into the nostrils of God, God was satisfied. You see, there is no other sacrifice for sins. It doesn't depend upon my great sacrifice. It depends on the one who has sacrificed himself for me. It is this now that I cling to. There's nothing else left for me to do. It's simply clinging to the works of Jesus Christ. And the fascinating and powerful message of the gospel is that he has taken my sin upon himself and given me his righteousness. Amen. That is the most amazing message. And every time I read it, I'm stunned. To be quite honest, I'm stunned. Because it's hard to imagine a God who would actually love this much. It's hard to imagine a Father who would love this much. That we look down upon a people who are rebellious by nature, who always find themselves with a propensity to go off and sin, and he comes down here in the flesh and becomes like one of us to redeem us. Redemption. We have been redeemed, my friends. We have been plucked like brands from the fire. And we have been set upon a rock and a foundation that is so sure that even though all of heaven and earth will shake at the end of this age, that foundation will never shake. Read Hebrews chapter 12. To declare, I say, in verse 26, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. He is the one who is just. And he has justified us who believe in Christ. So where is boasting then? It's excluded, Paul says. Is by what law? Of works? Am I going to boast in my works? When God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, reveals this simple message of justification by faith, can I rejoice in my works? And the answer is no. But rather by the law of faith. By the principle of faith. By the simple belief in what God has done. Paul says, again, quoting from Romans 1:17, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." Did you hear that? I wonder if you heard that tonight. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. My speaking brothers, let me encourage you tonight to not be ashamed when you stand up behind that pulpit in that auditorium in the convention site in New York Mills. You stand up and you preach the gospel of Christ, because that's what people need. They need to hear over and over and over again about what Christ has done for them. They need to hear the word of God as it addresses them in their lives. Because we read here, faith also comes how? By hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Amen. We'll continue by singing 217, Wonderful Words of Life.